Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Savior who comes, Jesus Christ. You would think that a sermon about prepare your heart might be, well, about sports and wearing a helmet perhaps, or preparing your head rather, or wearing a hat when going out in cold weather, or you girls might think it might be about putting on makeup, although I would not pretend to know anything about that. But preparing your head, really the idea is get your mind ready to meet the Lord. Now the mind needs to be prepared because there are plenty of distractions that we have in the world, especially this time of year, with all of the decorations and parties and things that go on to celebrate this season. But it's time to take a moment and get our minds ready, get our minds focused on the Lord and what he's about to bring to earth. I think Christmas becomes like an onion. You know, it's got all the skin all over it, and you really got to peel it. You got to peel off all of the things and all the things that are good and right, but can distract us from really what's at the heart of the onion, the core, you might say, which is Christ coming into the world. Isaiah tells us that his message to people's minds is about grass. All men are like grass. Surely they are, says the prophet. That includes the women and children as well. But what Isaiah is saying is that everyone has to die sometime. There will come a time when we must say goodbye to this world and hello to the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Everyone is going to die sometime. You will have an end. So get ready for that. Especially get your mind ready for that mentally, for the end of life. You know, in the old days, I'm talking back before Luther, they used to think that it was almost a curse if you died suddenly. I know today people think, oh, I would just like to go all at once. But back then they thought that was a curse because you did not have time to prepare yourself to meet the Lord. And they thought if you had kind of a longer illness, you would have that time to confess your sins and get your heart ready. The prophet says that all the glory of man is like the flowers of the field. Now, I'm someone that really appreciates flowers. I know many of you do. Many of you are gardeners. And we did have a nice, beautiful season this year for flowers. There was ample rain and so forth. We had some beautiful roses and other flowers. But think about those flowers. Where are they now? Where are the flowers? They're all gone. Always has been that way. When the cold weather comes, especially that frost, everything is gone. Until next year. Oh, of course, we're going to have a church full of poinsettias here this weekend. But we know those are all fake, aren't they? I mean, they come from hothouses. It's not natural for flowers to bloom and look beautiful in the winter. That is Isaiah's way of telling us that everything in our lives, everything that we accomplished, all the things that we treasure and hold on to, whether it be our work, whether it be our family, whether it be our home, whatever it is that we love and hold on to in this world and makes us happy, all our earthly dreams will not last. There will come a time when it'll all be gone. There'll become a time when we'll be gone from this world. So get ready for that, people. Get ready for that mentally. What can we count on? Grass withers. Flowers fade away and are buried under the snow. Isaiah says there's one thing that you can hold on to. Would you like to know what that one thing is? What is that one thing? Does anyone know what the one thing Isaiah says that we can hold on to and will endure forever? I think I can read it on your lips there in the back. Yes, the word of the Lord endures forever. You know, if we could only get into that into our heads, that all the other things, as exciting as they may be, really aren't as exciting as God's word revealed and brought to us personally, because it's something that's eternal and will never be taken away. Oh, I like to put things off, don't you? This time of the year, I'm putting off buying a couple of presents because I'm just not good at that. Some of you are very good at buying presents. Well, I'm not. I always wonder, what would I get that this person would like? So we put it off. It's so easy for us to put off God's word, isn't it? Oh, I'll read the Bible later. I'll have time for that later on, after I get these other things, these important things done. I'll go to church another time. This weekend is full. We've got all these parties coming up and people coming over. We'll start family devotions, but we won't be able to do it this week. We'll put it off for another time when we're less busy. I know it's important to memorize scripture, because there'll be a time when I can't come to church and I won't be able to read anymore. I know that's way off in the future, when my eyes fail and my ears can't hear so well anymore. But I'll wait a little later to put the word of God into my mind mentally, to memorize it and keep it in my heart. God is patient. He's patient like those animals out there waiting in the ground in their dens, waiting for this winter to be over when they can get out again. He is very patient. Isaiah is writing to people who aren't very patient, telling them about their patient God, but telling them not to test his patience. That nation of Israel was like grass. God established it mighty in its springtime. They came out of Egypt free, marched mightily through that Red Sea, went through the wilderness for 40 years. God sustained them, took care of all their needs. Even their shoes didn't wear out. There was food whenever they needed it. Then, boom, they came into that promised land, into Palestine. All the nations trembled before them. The armies melted away like butter in the heat. There was no stopping them. God was on their side. That was apparent. But it didn't take long, and they got busy. Busy with their lives, busy with their farms, busy with their business and raising their families. They forgot about the Lord. He was patient. He was waiting. But they never came back. Only a few here and there, a household here, a household there, but never did all of the people come back to the Lord. All the centuries he waited. So God sent prophets, and the prophets brought the word of the Lord, warning them that they should look to the seasons and the change in the weather around them, to look at nature, to look at the flowers and the grass. They have their time, but the time is short, and soon they will pass on. Get the message from nature, the prophet said. But the people still did not listen. That is God's message also to us today. Look to the nature. Look to nature. All things pass away. God's message is here. But are we listening any better than the people of the Old Testament? Now, you may be young. We've got a lot of children and youth here from school today. You may be in the prime of your life, just racing ahead. Or you may be a parent. You might have a house full of kids right now. What an exciting time this is for you. Maybe you're older. You got grandchildren or some on the way. Perhaps you're older. You're near the end of your life. But don't put this off. Whatever age you are, think ahead. Because, believe it or not, you will not always be here. You know, God does not promise us how long a time we have. Whether it be 60, 80 years, sometimes we don't live very long at all. Sometimes our health fails. sad as that is. Wealth and abundance comes and goes. Friends and family are taken away from us. In all of this, in what should we trust? Only one thing, the Lord, because His word will not fail us. God's word is really a person, you know. It's not just this inanimate object, but it is flesh and blood. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. People object to Christmas sometimes because, well, they think that they should only believe in natural explanations to everything. So they can get their head around everything. You know, if it doesn't follow the natural order of things, I'm not going to believe in it. Miracles and such things like that. Creation, that's too far-fetched that God would make the world. Let's come up with another way to explain why all the things are here, that they all developed out of their own. But God becoming a human being, to the non-Christian world, perhaps, that's just going so far. We're smarter than that. It's only a tradition, those Christians believe. There's really no God. How could He come into the world? Why would He visit us here if there was a God? But contrary to this, we believe and hold dear that truth that God has brought to us in His word, that Jesus is the embodiment of God's word. He brings God's will to us, that we not perish before Him. And He brings us hope. Yes, we will die, but we need not perish from before the Lord. In Christ is forgiveness, and with forgiveness there comes a life to us that has no end, that goes on and on. This is God's will. It is His will for your life. In the birth of Christ, this plan that had been waiting to unfold finally took place for you. And now, through the ministry of God's word, God brings that plan to you. When you are baptized, there God washed away your sins and put His hand upon you in your life and promised to guide and be with you if you would stay in His counsel and keeping. You were taught the meaning of the Bible through your parents, through your pastors and others. There God made promises to you personally to hold on to for all of your life, telling you about who you really are and who your God is and how to live as His person. You receive that bread and wine again here this afternoon at the altar. And there God connects you to the body and blood of Jesus, your King, who will come again. The body and blood of Christ that was sacrificed for you to deliver and make you His people. God has come to you personally in these ways. And He wants you to think about these things, to take them into your mind and into your person, into your heart, and honor them. Honor them, especially with your presence. He wants you to lift up your voice with a shout and proclaim the name of Jesus. Now, there's a great opportunity to lift up your voice with a shout and proclaim Jesus' name coming up. We call it the Christmas carols. And we just love to sing them, don't we? Now, we've been holding back through this Advent season because we're in the getting ready mode, you might say. But it's all going to break forth real soon. You know, also saying Merry Christmas. The last time I checked in this country, it's your right to express yourself any way you want. So if you want to say Merry Christmas, go right ahead. If you want to say Happy Holy Day, go right ahead. That's your right and your blessing. But what better thing to express how the birth of Christ makes you feel than telling someone else that joy and that freedom that being a Christian gives you? When Jesus was with us, He preached and said to us, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. He said, stop worrying about your life. Look at nature. Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. They don't worry. And God sure takes good care of them. The birth of Christ means that God is caring for us. Celebrating it means we recognize that God is caring for us, caring for our greatest need, the need of the salvation of our souls and a life after this one when it dies out. Celebrating the birth of Christ means that we're looking ahead for that new world to come, and we're getting ready to welcome our King of Glory. So I say, celebrate the birth of Christ. Prepare your head. Humble your mind. Be ready for mysteries, to believe in things that you can't understand, and yet you believe because it's a miracle, that God can be God and a human being, that God can come into the world and be part of the world that he created and even be subject to it and suffer and die, that God can come to you through simple means, washing with a little water, eating and drinking of bread and wine. God comes into the world to save you, and that God will come again to bring you to eternal rest and glory. Prepare your head. Christ is coming. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard and keep your hearts to everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen.